Okay, tonight's class is dedicated in memory of Issy Yechiel Issy Ben Tuvia Greenberg, whose yahrzeit is tonight, and Neshama should have an aliyah. Okay, we're in the Stone Chumash in 26, all the way at the bottom, at Maftir. Okay, last week we learned that as people got more and more, men started fooling around, animals started fooling around, everybody was fooling around. And Hashem said, that's it, 120 years is all people are going to live, I'm going to bring the flood. And even the giants that came down from heaven, who thought they'd be good, ended up also becoming very bad, and so on and so forth. Okay, so now, these few psukim are, in essence, really very difficult to understand. So let's try to tackle it a little bit. Vayara Shem Hashem saw, ki rabba ros ha'odom baretz, that the wickedness of man was great upon the earth. And the commentaries explain, rabba, there's quantity and there's quality of evil. You can have a lot of evil, but little ones, and you can have, here rabba, the commentaries explain, rabba means increasingly greater. Okay? That means the evil became worse. Not only in the quantity of the evil, but the quality of the evil became much worse. It was greater, and Hashem saw that people were doing evil and injustice to the world. Okay? And he saw that every product of the thoughts of his heart, it means what was the person concentrating a whole day on? Only evil the whole day. In other words, the whole thing where they were thinking about, every thought was motivated towards evil. They would not listen to any rebuke, not that anybody rebuked them, but if there was somebody telling them off, they wouldn't listen. Whatever they wanted to do, that they did. Their heart, whatever their hearts wanted, they did. Hashem said like this, I created mankind, I created him with good, I created him with evil. Okay, what did he do? He took the good, made it into evil. Page 26 at the bottom. Hashem said, I made a person with good and bad. You would think, at least, they'll try to make the bad into... No, they made the good into bad. Zrakrakolim was only evil an entire day. That's what the person did. From the minute... And the Talmud says, from the minute they woke up in the morning until they went to sleep at night. And one second. The Gemara says... The Gemara says in Sukkah, Rav Yitzchok says like this, the Yetzer Hara keeps getting stronger from day to day. Okay, guess keep getting stronger. In other words, the Gemara, there's a Pasuk, Tzeifer Rosh HaTzadik, the Rosh looks out at V'Reitzel HaMisa, he wants to kill him. And then, so the Gemara says like this, the Yetzer Hara looks out every day to kill men. And as the Pasuk can tell him, says, Alokim lo yazvenu biyodoy. Hashem doesn't let it happen. If Hashem wouldn't allow, if Hashem wouldn't stop the Yetzer Hara from convincing the man, he would never be able to overcome the Yetzer Hara. The only way the Yetzer Tov is able to overcome the Yetzer Hara is because Hashem helps us. Because the Yetzer Hara is much, like it's an animal versus a person. You know, there's a big lion versus a person, the lion's going to win. So therefore, the whole kavan of the person, it keeps getting stronger. As it says in Tanya, you eat more, you sleep more, so it gets stronger. Bottom line is, the Yetzer Hara gets stronger. If the Yetzer Hara gets stronger, kol hayom, as Medrash says, from the rising of the star in the morning until the setting is no good in them. It's only to do bad. And this is more so, as we'll see later, in the beginning of Parshas Noach, this is more Bein Adam L'Chaveri. It wasn't so much Bein Adam L'Mokim fighting man to God. It would be between corruption between man to man. And that was the worst thing. Now.
It was like worse than now? I mean, now I know there is some good, some... some bad, but then so it was no good, it was only bad, you say.
Right. And if it wouldn't been for Hashem's Midas Rachman, Nerech also would have been destroyed. The whole world would have been destroyed. There would have been no future world. We'll see that when we get to later on with Nerech. Now, what does it mean, Vayar Hashem? Hashem saw. Hashem doesn't have eyes. So what do you mean, Vayar Hashem? Hashem saw, Ki Rabbero is Adam. So Nefashim explain, meaning that when you see something, you become aware of something. Right? Vayar Hashem means Hashem saw, he became aware of the evil of people. It got out of hand. You know, everybody knows, I mentioned this in the past, there's a concept called Ayin Hara. Okay, the evil eye. You believe in it, you don't believe in it. In fact, it says in the Psalm, it only bothers you if you believe in it.
It's everywhere, isn't it? Not just an observation. That's...
Yeah, but what is the concept of Ayin Hara? Give an evil eye to somebody. What's the concept? So there's a lot of different explanations. One explanation I saw that really is so logical is very simple. To give you an example, in the city, like Beverly Hills, okay? A guy will do something illegal in building, build something in this house. If nobody says anything, it's not that they don't know the guy did it. They'll just overlook it. They'll overlook it, you know, big deal, the guy did it. Once somebody complains, then the city can't overlook it anymore. Then you have to deal with it because somebody complained. Like this, you would ignore it, and now you can't ignore it. A lot of times, Hashem gives a person more than the person really deserves. For whatever reason. The person may not deserve it, but Hashem like overlooks it. Hashem said, okay, let him have it. But once Ayin Hara means, hey, why does he get it? So then Hashem has to start dealing with it. So, again, it's the same point. It's not that Hashem didn't know before. Hashem knew before. But now, so to speak, it became revealed to Hashem, so why does this person have this? Hashem knew of the evil of the world at that time. But until it got really out of hand, then, so to speak, Hashem had to deal with it. And that's what it means, Vayar Hashem, okay? So in other words, what does this mean? So they bring down from the Agoda Breisha, Medrash says the following. Many people think, when I sin, Hashem doesn't see me. Hashem's so up there, he's way up there, what, he's going to look into my house and my little kitchen over there, what I'm doing? He's all the way up there. The Pasuk says, no. Vayar Hashem, Hashem saw, Ki Rabbero saw them. Or like we say in Tilim, in Yom Revi B'Shabbos, Hayetzer Ayin Halo Yabit, Hanoita Ozen Halo Yishma, right? If God makes ears, can't he hear? If God, Hayetzer Ayin, God makes eyes, he can't see. So obviously it means Hashem does see, Hashem does know. The only issue is sometimes he lets it go, and sometimes he doesn't, because in Pirkei Avos we see also, know the three things. There's an eye in Raya, Ba'ez, and Shemas, Chomasech, Ba'sef, and Nuchtavim. There's an eye that sees. So when it says here, Vayar Hashem, the Mfarshim explain that now it became in a way that's so obvious and so revealed, there's nothing Hashem could do anymore about it.
So are you allowed to believe in Ayin Hara, or you shouldn't?
You're allowed to believe in it, but it's better if you don't, because then it doesn't work. If you don't believe in it, it doesn't affect you.
The whole day we say, B'lei Nara, B'lei Nara, B'lei Nara, B'lei Nara. Look at this, B'lei Nara.
You don't have to say B'lei Nara all day.
So if somebody doesn't believe in it, just
ignore it.
What?
If you ignore it, the best thing is to ignore dreams, Ayin Hara, is all that stuff. Okay, we're not getting stuck on this now. Vayinochem Hashem. Okay, now starts the hard part. Hashem reconsidered, that's the simple, Ki Aseh Sa'odam Ba'aretz. Hashem reconsidered the fact that he made man on earth. That's the simple meaning. We'll soon see a deeper meaning. Vayisate valibe, and Hashem was sat to his heart.
He doesn't have a heart.
Okay, 1 minute, 1 minute. So, first of all, what does it mean over here? Hashem regretted. Regret means I did something, I made a mistake, I realized I made a mistake, and I regret it. So obviously, Hashem doesn't do that. So number one, it says that there's a number of interpretations over here. There's one interpretation that says, which is very interesting, Vayinochem Hashem, Hashem regretted that he made a person only in the earth. Meaning, it said, and by the way, some people say it's in the word nechama, not regret, but Vayinochem Hashem became comforted. He could learn it regretted, or like here it says in the English, Hashem reconsidered, but Vayinochem also means comforting. Some of us should learn Hashem was comforted that he made only man on earth. He's only going to mess up the earth, not the heavens. If he made man in the heavens, the whole celestial system would be messed up. Hashem said, thank God I only made him on earth. Which is a very interesting thing by itself. Okay, other Mefarshim say what it means is like this, that Hashem actually, Midas HaRachmim turned to Midas HaDin. Okay? Okay, you can't say God regrets, okay, because, but what does it mean? Again, Hashem speaks in our terms. Right? Hashem doesn't, there's no, like heart, regret, it doesn't mean, but what does regret by a person mean? They're hoping, what's the definition of regretting? You were hoping it's gonna be better, and it didn't turn out that way. That's the definition of regretting by a person. Hashem was hoping, because he gave us free choice to mankind, Hashem was hoping that mankind would choose to do good. That was his hope. Not that he didn't know what was going to be, but like we said last week, we still have free choice even when Hashem says we can't. We still have the free choice and the ability to do what needs to be done. So Hashem wanted, really, that our people should be good. And that's what he wanted, right? But Hashem realized, so to speak, that they didn't do what I wanted them to do. And that is what regret means. Not that Hashem said, oh, I made a mistake, so therefore I have to destroy the world. Kachas Hashem to say, Hashem foresaw. In fact, Rashi brings on an interesting Gemara, the Medrash. Goy asked Rabbi Yishua ben Karcha, do you admit that God sees the future? This Goy asked Rabbi Yishua ben Karcha, do you believe God sees the future? Yes. He says, but it says here in the Pasuk, God grieved his heart, that he seemed to regret it, didn't see the future. If he saw the future, why would he make the baby? Correct? So, Rabbi Yishua ben Karcha answered him the following. Did you ever have was there a son ever born to you? He said, yes. What did you do? I rejoiced. Are you aware that one day this kid's gonna die? He says, yeah. And then what are you gonna do?
Cry.
We're gonna mourn. So therefore the joy is not joy. At the time of joy, there was joy. Afterwards, that's what Rabbi Yishua ben Karcha said. Even though it was revealed before him, and he knew that the child was going to die, the people are going to sin, nevertheless, that didn't stop him from creating and enjoying the people while they were still good. Just like the child that the person created. Okay? Now, what does it mean? Vayisatzev el libay. It's a very funny expression by Hashem. He was saddened to his heart. You could say vayisatzev, Hashem was sad. Again, what does it mean? Not that Hashem's sad, like we're sad. But the concept of sadness is that it's not the way we wanted it to turn out, right? So, by the way, the Ramban says, very interestingly, vayisatzev el libay. He was only sad in his heart, meaning he didn't show it. Hashem didn't tell anybody about it. He kept it in his heart.
Isn't it there for us to understand how he was sad so that we can put a human feeling to knowing how he was feeling?
Yeah, again, but by Hashem, yeah, but by us we regret, we feel bad because we didn't know it was going to be like that. Hashem knew it was going to be like that. But nevertheless, Rabbi Shuvan Karcha said, while it was good, okay? Meaning, normally, another point over here is like this. The heart, the mind is the seat of intellect, and the heart is the seat of emotions, right? What does it mean by Yisatzev Alibi? Hashem's sadness, which is an emotion, obviously, was in his heart. Just like by a person, it's in his heart. Okay? Now, what does it mean Hashem was grieved? He was sad. He was grieved to his heart. Okay? What does that mean? When Hashem has to do Midas HaDin, whenever Hashem has to do judgment, which he has to do sometimes, he doesn't want to really do it. Hashem doesn't want to being doing that. Okay? By Yisatzev Alibe, the supporter says, it means he was grieved. What does it mean he was grieved? You know, by Kriyas Yamsuf, the Medrash says that the Malachim wanted to sing praise to God in heaven. Bikshua Malachim Leimershira. The Malachim in heaven, when the Hashem made the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf, the Malachim wanted to say praise. Hashem said to them, listen, my sayodai tevim bayam vatam emushira, my creations are drowning and you want to sing hallel? The Jews had to sing hallel because they were saved from them. But Hashem says to the angels, what do you mean? We think I'm excited about this. My creations that I myself made are dying and you expect me to be happy? So instead of ayisate valibi being saddened, the Sipurna said ayisate valibi means Hashem grieved. Hashem cried over the fact that he has to destroy the world that he himself made. Did he know it was going to happen? Of course he knew it was going to happen. There's no changing mind by Hashem. What?
Can we say that about what's happening now even? Like,
what?
What's happening just before our very eyes in these days? Like, can we say that?
Like what? Be more explicit.
That Hashem is sad to see all these fires happen.
Listen, the Torah says, "Hatayra chos amomena shel Yisrael." Torah cares about money, not money, money. World, you know how to waste baltachkas, right? You know how to destroy things. Yes, Hashem doesn't like to destroy things. He commands us not to destroy. In fact, there's a very interesting halachic question that the commentaries ask, if Hashem keeps Torah, Hashem keeps mitzvahs, it says in the Torah, you're not allowed to destroy godly homes. It says, by when you come to Eretz Yisrael, you have to destroy all the idol-worshipping places and burn them down, and Vayish Tisreifu, and then the Torah says, Leisasekein Hashem Elokeichem. You're not allowed to do that to God's places. Yeah? So the Mefarshim ask a question, Hashem in his Torah says you're not allowed to burn down Hashem's building, and yet Hashem burned down the Beis HaMikdash. How is he allowed to do that? Right? So what's the answer they give? They give a very fundamental answer. The burning of the Beis HaMikdash was to save the Jews. He burnt the building, and therefore he didn't have to destroy the Jews. If he would have destroyed the Jew, if he couldn't destroy the building, and to save a life, pikuach nefesh, then you're allowed to destroy things, right? You're allowed to destroy things to save a life. So Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash because he wanted to save the Jewish people. Yeah? Why Hashem does things is definitely not because they're sinners, and not because he drove to Shul, and not because whatever other reasons the people said. That's for the record, though, the people that say it was a gay bris going to Pittsburgh, I'm talking about. It's a gay bris. The rabbi of the synagogue there said there was no bris and there was no gay and there was no nothing. It was the bubble mice that they made up. It wasn't even true. suppose it wasn't true. He said, the fact was it wasn't true. Well, why is Hashem burning all the fire? Trust me. I don't know. The question, one second. The only question with this is not why. The question is only, what do we learn from it? That's the question. Why Hashem does things that we cannot know. He does it.
So we don't know why, if he's mad at man, he decides that he has to kill all the animals and everything else on earth. The trees.
Well, we'll soon learn the animals were corrupt also. The animals were also sinning. And the trees sinned. Everybody sinned.
The trees sinned?
Huh?
The trees also?
Remember the bark and the fruit were supposed to taste the same and they didn't? Remember that whole?
It's almost like he's doing a start over.
No. Actually, as we'll learn by the Mabul, according to Kabbalah and Hasidus, is a completely different concept than the way it's taken literally. It wasn't the destruction of the world. It was a purification of the world. It was a mikvah. 40 days, 40 sava mikvah is actually a purification of the world. Hashem purified the world. Instead, you guys are so corrupt. The earth became corrupt. Everything became corrupt. I'm going to purify you, and we're going to start all over again.
I guess my main question, though, is if we do see something like this, that's so beyond...
The question is, what do we learn from it?
But can we also assume that Hashem doesn't want to do that, really? Is that only when we see that directly?
Like yes. But not again. Hashem does what he wants to do. But Hashem, I'll give you an example. We're learning in Shabbos morning in Tanya and then Wednesday night also in Tanya, yeah? Jews force Hashem to go into Golos, correct? They force Hashem to go into Golos. Now, if Hashem doesn't want, he doesn't have to do anything. He's the boss. Okay? So does he want to go into Golos? But if he doesn't want to, then he won't do it. In other words, he's doing it reluctantly because he's forced to do it. But it's not something that he wants to do. You know what? We learned already. There's what's called the will of a person, yes? There's what's called pnimius haratzon, the real will of the person, and chitzenius haratzon, the external will of the person, okay? To give you a very simple example, a person wants to work, yeah? One may have a job, right? A person wants to work. So I have a will because I want to work. But it's not the ultimate purpose. The real purpose is to make money. Okay? So the real will is to make money. But in order to make money, I have to work, so therefore I want to work. So what is my goal? My goal is not to work. My goal is to make the money, correct? Which ultimately is also not the goal. The goal is to live like a Jew. But just to look at that two aspects, yeah? Hashem created a physical world, correct? That's not the ultimate purpose. Yeah, he wanted to create a physical world. He wanted evil to exist. And the proof of it is he created evil. But what's the ultimate purpose of it? The ultimate purpose of Hashem is to make the evil into good. Yes? So in order to purify the world, to start over again, Hashem had to do it. It's like we said millions of times. You want to do surgery? You don't want to do surgery. But if the surgery is going to make you better, then you want to do the surgery. Do you really want to do the surgery? No, I really don't. I'd rather not have to do it. But I want to do the surgery, but it's not what I really want. I want to be healthy. And in this case, the only way I could do it is through surgery. So the only, it's kaviyochel, man, she could do whatever he wants. But the only way Hashem could do things is by destroying the world. Correct? The question, what do we learn from it? What do we learn from it? It brings out the oneness, the unity of people. I mean, there's a lot of... Not that it's worth the negativity in any way whatsoever, but a lot of good traits of people came out with all these tragedies that happened. You know, okay, but it's still not...
Well, it doesn't have
What?
Why does it have to be that way?
And a chanami, again, you can't ask what Hashem did, but like it says in Pirkei Avos, Hashem created the world 10 utterances. It doesn't say why 10. Ma Talmud Lema, what do we learn from it? What do we learn from what Hashem does? Okay. Vayema Hashem, Hashem said Vashem Hashem, Hashem said. To whom did he say it? So some of Farshim say he said it to Noach. Okay? Or other Mepharshim say, Ibn Ezra says, what does it mean, Vayema Hashem? Hashem was adamant and determined to do it. Like it already came down into the world of speech versus just the level of thought. Okay, as the Mepharshim explained, even the people were so bad that even the attribute of mercy had no choice but to be bad to them. To cleanse them and so on. Okay, but I'm going to erase a blot out man, and we'll soon see what that means. Sheberasi that I created, may al pnei adama from the face of the earth, may adam ad behema from man to beast, to ad remesh ad efas shemayim until the creepy things, even the birds of the heaven. Everybody is going to be destroyed. Okay? What do you mean, emcha? Emcha is all blot out. So it means like this. Hashem saying, I will dissolve a person back to dirt. A person, anyway, stacks him dirt. A person's dirt, right? So Hashem's gonna bring him back to make him dirt again. I don't need armies. In other words, Hashem said, I don't need armies to destroy the world. I'm just gonna do it myself. Now, some of Hashem Mochai is actually to the core. It's going to, that they're not going to get up even Tchias HaMesim. Okay. Now, Me'al Pnei Adama from the face of the ground, meaning the earth itself was not destroyed. The face of the earth, even though we'll learn later, by the Mabel, by the flood, it says in the Medrash, 3 Tfachim, it's 3 hand breaths, which is between 9 and 12 inches of 3 tefachim is 9 to 12 inches of earth was wiped off the ground. Hashem took off in the Mabul, but the whole earth wasn't destroyed. The face of the earth was destroyed. And that's what it said, I'm going to remove him from the Adam ad Behema, because the Medrash says the animals sin, or the Rashi says, what did the animals do? Why are they guilty? He said, very simple, the animals, even Rashi, even if they didn't sin, they were created for the purpose of mankind. If man are destroyed, there's no purpose of having animals alive. You're all created for the purpose of man. So what do you need animals for?
Put some animals.
I like that better than the animals turn to sinners, because...
Rashi says... or everything was created for the sake of a person. Rashi says two interpretations. So why, Rashi says even the animals who don't have free choice were mating other animals. Which is not the normal way, even of an animal.
Some animals were doing other animals?
Yeah. They were all corrupt. They were doing everything improper. Okay, from Kinichamti, because I reconsidered, okay? I've considered, or like Rashi says it means, not Kinichamti, that I changed my mind. It means, I'm considered what to do with them after I made them. Now that I made them, they're here, I'm considering what to do with them. It doesn't mean, God forbid, that Hashem changed his mind. What it means is, this is the Mepharshim, this fundamental, you can't say Hashem changed his mind. That's a ridiculous statement. Hashem created the world hoping that the world would be good, knowing that it won't. But there's always hope. Hashem hoped, that the world would be good, and it ended up not that way. So there's nothing he could do. Okay. What?
Because that the whole world had to be go through this cleansing, does that mean that this was really the ultimate in going, let's say, against what Hashem wants, because other punishments weren't as severe like in history, like with the Ten Makos or other times that Hashem had to do things that were also out of nature? But
yeah, but this is pretty bad, because the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says an interesting thing. Heavenly punishment is not given to a person under 20. When Hashem kills you for an aver that meets him with the Shemaim, whatever, you don't die under 20. Here, everybody sinned. Okay? So the regret was that Hashem made them to begin with. And therefore, even the righteous would perish.
Were their kids also
in? Everybody perished.
And even kids?
The whole world. I'm sure there were kids. I'm sure they had preschools, elementaries, high schools. And it says, the Mefarshim explain, Noach was only saved. Noach had a special grace, and that's why he was saved. In other words, it wasn't that everybody deserved to die. Hashem regretted the fact that he made everybody, and then even kids died.
What about Noah's kids?
Noah's kids didn't die. And only because, it's interesting, we're going to see a story. The Zayah says, what happened with Noah's kids, why they were saved.
Yeah, why?
We'll soon see. Okay, V'Noach Matzah Chein B'Nei Hashem. Noach found favor in the eyes of Hashem. And the quote over here, the Zayah says like this. Chein, favor, is the same letters as Noach. Right? In evil, it's the same thing. You know, Yehudis told children, add an Einan, that he had from Tamar. Right? I mean, the two kids, Ev Einan. Okay. And it says that they did Ra Be'enei Hashem. Ed, Ayin Reish, that was his name. Ayin Reish is the letters Ra. So you have an evil, Ed is Ra. And in Kedusha, Noach is Chein. Okay? So Hashem's grace allowed Noach to stay alive. Why? Why did Noach have his own merit? Because, as the Mefarshim explained here, we're going to see more as we go on, yeah. Noach did not go out into the world to better the people. He kept it all for himself. And therefore, you are as guilty as the people. The Gemara says, "Mi sheyesh b'yodi limchis v'lei macha." A person has the ability to stop somebody from sinning, and they don't, is called a Rasha. Or it says, you have a part of that sin because you could have stopped it and you didn't stop it. And that was the fundamental difference between Noach and Avram. Avram went out into the world and made people believe in God, and Noach didn't. And because Noach didn't, he really deserved to die with them.
And if you do this and you know the person is not going to hear and don't want to listen?
At least you have to do what you do. If they don't listen, they don't listen. Noach didn't even go out to try.
Was when they reconsidered, was it maybe that he reconsidered, he wanted to wipe them all out, but he really just wanted to, he almost found Noach as a reason not to wipe everybody out? Because maybe he might have been also?
He really would have been perished too, but it was a special grace that Noach had, okay? So he's able to find favor and rebuilding the world in a changed condition, so to speak. Hashem said, this world is no good. This world is no good. Don't forget, this is over 2,000 years. Can you imagine? This is a third of the time of the world.
Yeah, it's hard to, because it's only one parsha.
Yeah, because they live so long. But you're talking about 2,000 years of creation now was completely wiped out. Hashem said, okay, now we're starting the new era with Avraham Avinu, Noach and Avraham Avinu, yeah, and Matan Torah. So that's, it sounds like this, 2,000 years Tehu, 2,000 years Torah, you know, there's a sequence in the 1,000 years of, the 1,000 years of creation.
The third 2,000.
Mashiach.
What?
Mashiach. Okay. Some of Farshim say even more, by the way. The people were so bad, killing them was merciful to them. It's like, the Gemara says about Ben Seder, you know, the rebellious son. It said, you might as well kill him innocent. Let him die innocent before he dies guilty. So Hashem is kind. Yeah, it's called, in English, it's called mercy killing. I don't mean the Kevorkian mercy killing. That's against Torah. But I'm saying in a spiritual sense, Hashem said, I'm going to kill them. I'm going to stop them from sinning. Like this, they would continue sinning and Hashem stopped it. Okay, now we'll start the next parsha of Noach. By the way, okay, we'll see that when we get to the flood. Okay, so it says like this. Ela told us, Noach, these are the offspring of Noach. It simply means the children of Noach. Noach ish tzaddik. Okay, Noach was a tzaddik. So Rashi says, what does that mean? So Rashi says, listen, because we mentioned him, say something good about him. Okay? Noach ish tzaddik, tamim haye b'dereisav, he was complete, he's in his generation. Okay? As if, because this is going to be the beginning of a new mankind, even though we didn't learn the flood yet. But this is the beginning of the new mankind, so he's mentioning Noach and his three sons. Noach went, walked with God. Okay? Now what's interesting, first of all, Rashi says over here, by Avraham Avinu it says, his halech lefanai. Not his halech Noach. His halich noach means like passive. His, by Avraham Avinu it says, his halich lefanai, meaning like this. Avraham Avinu, I'm sorry, Noach was not the same tzaddik Avraham Avinu was. So therefore Noach needed help. His halich noach means, with God, Noach went, meaning Hashem had to help him. Hashem had to help Noach being the tzaddik. Avraham was such a tzaddik, he didn't need help from anybody. Okay? Somebody was able to walk, but he needs help. It's not the same as a person walks on his own. Avraham was a tzaddik on his own, Noach wasn't. Okay? So Elo told this Noach, it was righteous. Okay, now. There's a lot, why is the Torah telling us this? So the Ramban says the purpose is to explain why only Noach was able to build the Teva. Because he was the only good person. Even his kids, by the way, were not as great as, well, Chom B'chal was no good. And even Yafes was not as good. Shem was good. But still, Noach himself had to build the Teva, not his kids. Okay? Each Sami, he was Tamim, complete. Perfect in his attributes. Okay, now tzaddik hayu b'dereisav, tamim hayu b'dereisav. So this is the famous Rashi that brings down two opposite opinions. One opinion says he was even a tzaddik in his generation. With all the bad people, he was still a tzaddik. If he would have been in the generation of Avraham Avinu, he would have been a super great tzaddik. And the other opinion says, no, Noach was only a tzaddik in his generation. everybody was bad, so he was called good.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they tell the story, these two brothers that everybody hated came to the rabbi and said, we want you to do my funeral. We'll give you $10,000, but you have to say something good about us. So when the first brother died, the rabbi said in his eulogy, he wasn't a good person, he said, compared to his brother, he was an angel. Whatever. So, but the question is, okay, according to the other, only in Israel he would have been a tzaddik. Okay. Now, the question is, if you have two choices, you could speak good about somebody, or you could speak bad about somebody. Which one should you pick? You should pick the good. Right? So now the question is, so why is the Torah saying one opinion that he was not so good? There's two opinions. Like Rashi, some rabbis say he was good, even in Avram's generation he would have been a tzaddik. And the other opinion says, no, he was not so good, only in his generation he was good. So what's the purpose of speaking bad about him if you could speak good about him? So the answer is, we need to understand that everybody has good and bad. It's not only an argument if Noach was a very good person, not such a good person. It's a statement. Every person is composed of good and bad. We have to learn from the good of the person. We need to learn from the bad of the person. From the bad of the person, you can learn what not to do. Or, like it says, what do you learn from a thief? He does it quietly. If he doesn't succeed, he tries again. I mean, there's a lot of...
What was the bad in Avram?
Not in Avram.
I'm saying. You say everybody has good and bad. And we're talking about a comparison, like, you know, if you compare him to Avram's generation.
Avram's evil to a certain extent was that he laughed when Hashem told him that he's going to have a baby.
That was
Sarah,
no?
Both of them left. Sarah said, no, am I going to have a baby? Avram didn't. But again, the evil by Avram Avinu, you and I are not going to find. It's the lack of perfection is considered evil on their level. In other words, good instead of better is called evil compared to better, like we learned.
And the more you study and the more you know, Hashem goes more and more to pick up on you.
To pick on you?
No.
Why?
Because you know, you try your best and you're getting the knowledge and Hashem gets harder and harder and harder on you.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just life.
No. I mean, yeah, no. What it means is like this. The greater you become,
yes.
Hashem says, I trust you with bigger obligations and bigger challenges. Right? If a boss gives a worker bigger jobs to do, that means the boss trusts that worker rather than another worker that he's not going to be giving that job to. Correct? Yes?
Yeah.
So should the worker look at it as something negative or something positive? So if a person is intelligent, they'll realize that what they're doing is beneficial for me. It's going to make me grow. It's going to make me become better. It's going to make me get a better job. It's going to be beneficial to me. When a parent, years ago, when parents discipline children, okay, an intelligent child understood that this is for my benefit. Correct? So therefore, because and as we said, the challenges as we get older and closer become more difficult. Because if I'm at a greater level, why should I get yesterday's challenges, which are for a lower level, if I can get the challenges of a higher level, which is more up to my level, which makes me even greater. And then I reach higher and you get even greater challenges. So it, in other basically, I'm going to rephrase the question. The more you learn, the less you realize you know, so why bother learning? Yeah? Doesn't pay to learn, because the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know anything. Why should I be good? Because if I'm good, I'm going to have more difficulties in life. But if you're good...
Challenges. Yes.
Challenges are great. If Hashem gives you a challenge, yes? Does that mean that Hashem trusts you that you can do it? Yes or no?
Yep.
Shouldn't you be proud of the fact, look, good God trusts me? He didn't give it to anybody else because they can't do it. Hashem gave it to me because I could do it.
So you should want challenges.
No, we don't ask for them.
No.
Every day in davening and brachos, we don't want to be
able
to
look at everything as a
pleasure. But a Jew needs to realize when Hashem gives it to us, it's because he loves me and he trusts me more. We don't want them. I was just telling this to somebody today. David HaMelech, yeah, why did he fail the test with Bathsheba? He didn't sin. The Gemara says, whoever says David HaMelech sinned is only making a mistake. It's wrong. It's not right. Because she wasn't a married woman. Uriah Yechid was supposed to get killed anyway. The whole story. But the bottom line of it is, David HaMelech had a test and he failed. He didn't sin, but he failed. Correct? Why? But there's a background to that. David HaMelech said to Hashem, test me. Give me a test. Challenge me. Okay? Hashem says, no. You don't want tests. You don't want challenges. You don't want these things. He kept nudging and nudging and nudging. And Hashem said, you know what? Okay, let me show you. Okay, fine. Fine. You want it? I'll give it to you and you'll see that you won't pass it. If I give it to you on my own, you could pass it. When you decide to have a challenge, then you're not going to pass it. Because challenges themselves are very difficult to pass. But if Hashem gives you the strength to do it, then you do it. So a person who's blessed with greater challenges needs, I'm talking proper Jewish perspective, not the kappa. Proper Jewish perspective is, Hashem gives me a bigger test, it means he trusts me more, that he knows I could do it. So instead of getting depressed, it should give the person the vitality and the strength and the vigor to go do it, because Hashem is giving him the strength to do it. Instead of kvetching and, you know.
So though, in that perspective, then what he gave Noah is a very big challenge. Build an ark and
he was given a big challenge.
So that means that, you know, from the
forget the building of the ark. You know what went on in the ark? You know what went on in the ark? He didn't sleep day and night.
Yeah, he was taking care of
animals, night animals, day animals, nights that sleep at night, sleep during the day, and he got kicked. And
so that means that in any generation he should be considered a tzaddik, from the, you know, if from the two choices.
From the two choices, you have to judge everybody according to their own personality. In other words, a person is a tzaddik based on his time and his personality. If he would be able to be better, then he's not such a big tzaddik. If a person could be better, right? Like we said the other week, the other day, whatever. If you can get 100, you get a 95, you failed.
So maybe his personality was, he wasn't outgoing, that he could felt like he could go and convince people. Maybe he didn't have a tongue to go and convince people, but he was...
He should have gotten one. Should have gone to Target or Costco and bought a tongue.
Hired a public relationship. you know, this problem.
When you see corruption going on, first of all, I did mention this before, when Hashem says, I saw, I'm going to look, and Hashem gave the world the benefit of the doubt. It says, he talked to himself, he didn't right away act. Hashem didn't right away kill everybody. Okay? Hashem said, 1 minute, let me give him time, maybe they'll do tshuva, maybe they'll, let me see what I could do, you know? Maybe they'll change. Hashem said, fine, give him the last 120 years to change, you're still not going anywhere, so that's okay, dayenu. That's enough, I'm gonna destroy you. A person has to judge somebody in a very favorable way. What?
So what you were saying just a minute ago, Rabbi, about Noach having to deal with this challenge once he was on the Teva, does that mean that it wasn't just like, okay, well, you were a better person, so now you get to live not an easier life, but it seems almost like he had to go through the difficulty of the world also.
The Gemara says, Tzadikim ein lahem menucha, lo b'olam hazeh v'lo b'olam haba. Tzadikim don't have peace, not in this world, not in the world to come. Okay? The purpose of life is not to have peace. It sounds funny. The purpose of life is to grow and advance and accomplish and create. That's the purpose of life. And every minute of a person's life is supposed to be doing in a way of growing and advancing and moving on. Noach's problem was that he didn't go out into the world to change the world. And as Chassidus calls him, the tzaddik in pelts, is these big Russian fur coats, you know. So he was a tzaddik, but he closed himself up and he locked himself up in his ghetto, you know, whether it's Meir Shalom, Bnei Brak, Williamsburg, Borough Park, you lock yourself up in your cocoon, and you don't go, and you don't go out into the world to change.
If every person out there is corrupt and evil, and that, what kind of success would he have been able to have, one man alone?
First of all, you don't know if you don't try. He didn't even try, that's the point. And he would have been able, if he went out, he would have been able. Avraham Avinu was successful.
So was tending to the animals supposed to be life? Something to help him get to that level. In other words, that he could see that he really could help others.
He could have done it. He didn't do it.
No, but I'm saying, is that like a, I don't know if the word is tikkun, but the point is was he tending animals, was that to help him to bring that good, that part out of him, so to speak?
Nobody ever said he wasn't a nice guy. He invented a plow. He brought goodness to the world. But he didn't go out and make the world a better place.
And was that making it a better place by what he did on the table?
Yeah. No, the table was too late already. The table was, like it says, at the end of the marble, Hashem says to Noach, Tzema na teva, get out. When he get out, he was dying to get out. So the Medrash says, in Kabbalah it says, that he didn't want to go out of the Teva. He was working like crazy, right? Got kicked and bit and who knows what. But it says in the Zohar that during the Mabul, it was the revelation of L'Osad Lavai, because in the Mabul was V'gar Zev and Keves, the lion and the lamb lived harmoniously. All the animals lived harmoniously together. It was the era of Mashiach. Can you believe it? And therefore, Noach didn't want to go out. And Hashem said, get out.
So why would he check?
Huh? Because Hashem told him to find out what's going on. Hashem told him to check out what's going on to find out if the Mabul's over or not over. But Noach's problem was, even that, he had to be helped to go with Hashem. He wasn't going out and doing what he wanted to do.
And how about his life after the teva? Did he?
It doesn't say. He lived 350 years after the teva. Yeah, the only thing he did, he came out, he made a vineyard, he got drunk. I mean, after that, it doesn't say anything that he did.
So it doesn't say that he then was more involved with the world? Or
he wasn't.
We're to assume in 120 years he's building this big ark, nobody comes up to him and he isn't trying
to... It says if people came up to him and said, what are you doing? So then later Rashi says, he said to the people in 120 years, God's going to destroy the world and you better wait your ways. But it's a big difference.
They came to him.
Okay, listen, in Yiddishkeit today we have the same thing. You have people that say like this. If a guy comes into shul, okay, then ask him to put on tefillin. After all, he's coming into a place of Kedusha. Obviously, he wants to be there. But to go out into the street and stop a guy in the street and ask him to put on tefillin or to light Shabbos candles, come on. That's not the place for it. Okay? That was the fundamental difference between Noach and Avram. Noach stayed home. Somebody came to him. You know, what are you doing? He said, yeah, God's going to bring a flood if you don't repent. You know, come in for some Shabbos cholent.
There's a portion that said that many people built boats, you know, at that time, and they didn't survive, you know.
Yeah, they said people tried building boats because the water was boiling hot.
Right.
You couldn't survive. Yeah, it would have melted. Except the only, the miracle was that the fish stayed alive because the fish weren't corrupt. The animals were corrupt. None of the fish died, by the way.
And how about his son? Was his son more involved in the world, would you say?
Which son?
Shane.
Yeah. Eventually he built a yeshiva, that was a yeshiva Shem
Ve'ever. And the corrupt animals that were saved, they weren't corrupt afterwards?
Nope. He only took the good ones. Or not only that, the ark itself, the teva itself, only took in those animals that were not corrupt.
Oh, did other animals try to go in?
Yeah. It says the animals bo'al ne'ach, so the Medrash says that the animals that were the good, the teva cultist, the teva took them in, if not.
Must
have been a very interesting scenario what was going on then.